Once again, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let's say with enthusiasm, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yes, we need to be alive and well because this is the Lord's day, the day that He created for us to celebrate life. And it's the day that we should be happy and rested. If you went to bed last night very, very late, no good. Because now you're going to be a little bit tired and you're going to be tempted to start fishing. We're not supposed to fish on Sabbath. It's against the rules. And you know what I mean, fishing? That's not good. So no fishing on Sabbath, okay? It's not a good idea. There are many things we can do on Sabbath, but fishing is not one of them. And so today we'll talk about a subject that came to us via one of our members. We have received for the past month or so questions that we ask for the adults in our church because we already gave opportunity for the young people to give us questions and we create a whole series on those questions. So then we ask the adults, would you turn in your questions because we like to formulate a sermon or few sermons on those. Today we pick one. And some of you may relate to the question that we ask. We will not at this time reveal the name of the person who gave the question because I believe the question is relevant to all of us. And it is about angels. Oops, that's the wrong. This is the one. Today's message, angels. In the English word angel comes from the Greek, angelos, which means to send, a messenger. The same thing in Hebrew, the word malak means messenger. You know, Malachi means the send one, is where it comes from, malak. And so that is where the word comes. There are several references in the Bible, hundreds of them. You find the Bible talks about angels all over the place. As first, both testaments, the First Testament and the Second Testament. Some of you like to call it Old Testament. I don't think it's old. The word old, it was created in order to say that it's no longer necessary. And all of us here that have gray hair, we don't like that expression, right? But no, I know that I don't like to call the first part of the Bible Old Testament. I call the first part of the Bible, second part of the Bible, because there is nothing in the Bible that is absolute, in my opinion. How many are there? Millions of millions. And the Bible does not give a precise number. It just says billions of billions of billions. And we know there are billions of demon ones, bad angels, here on earth. And God has 2/3 of the angels. So only 1/3 came to this earth. So we know that for each demon, there is at least 2 good angels that the Lord can send our way. So there's no reason for us to say that we're overcome by an evil angel because there are good angels working on our behalf. They share one common purpose. What do you think is the purpose of the existence of an angel? To bring glory to God. And the word glory means to reveal God's character. Everything that an angel does is to reveal who God is. That is the same goal that God has sent us to us. The purpose for our existence is to glorify God, to reveal in us the image of God. And so in all creation, doesn't matter if you are angel or if you are human, the purpose is the same, is to reflect the one who makes us to exist. Every act, every thought, everything that we do is only purpose is to reveal who God is. And when we reveal who God is, that's when actually we become. All of you might angels who obey God's commands or reflect God's character, come and praise the Lord. Now, this text is actually referring to the angels, but if you translate the word angels to messengers, this could apply to all of us. All of us, when we stand to obey God and to praise Him, we are His messengers. And the objective for our existence is to glorify Him, is to reveal who He is. Do you look like God? Have you checked your face in a mirror? Probably some of you stayed at least half an hour in front of it this morning. And some of you says, I'm good looking. I don't need to spend so much time in it. But whatever time you spend looking at yourself, ask yourself this question. Do I look like my Father? Do I look like Him? Angels have interacted with humans. We know that's why we know about them. They took somewhat the human form. Why? Because in order for them to relate to humans, they took the human form, and so they could communicate and also not just scare, you know, the humans that much. So they approach. And we have references that people that approach other people, and that actually they were angels. Angels and human beings are different in creation, different order of creation. The Bible says clearly that human beings were created a little lower than the angels, or the angels created higher than humans. And the Bible says also the angels are spirits. And some of the people, they consume a lot of spirits because they try to become a spirit too. Angels can never become human, and humans can never become angels. Let's make that very clear. The two are two different things. There are some people out there call themselves Christians that claim that when little babies die, they become angels. And some humans, they become angels. And there are people that go to church and speak to a church that says, I have seen angels. And the angel gave me a message and I give a message to you. So those are the typical things that is going on right now and has gone on throughout the ages. Even at the time of Apostle Paul, people did the same thing. Question that we receive, and this is the main, we're not going to be talking specifically only on this, but in angels general, so that we understand what an angel is. Do angels have gender? Now, is anybody here surprised that this question even came up? Do you know why the question probably came up? Because you turn on television, gender. You turn on internet, gender. And the next month they're going to be talking about gender all the time. Not the gender, but the messed up gender. And by the way, if one of you be offended for what we have to say here because the Word of God says this way, I'm not going to apologize. We are sick and tired for apologizing for being good, and which bad should be apologized, not good. So don't be intimidated by the way this world is turning to upside down. We used to be a moral nation. Today, we are sending a message to the whole world that we are an immoral nation. And all under the disguise of accepting everyone. How can you accept what is bad when you exclude what is good? It's a contradiction of terms. When you remove something bad, you are to give a place for something that is... When you remove something that is good, you are to give a place to something that is bad. There's no progress. That's not progressive. That is wrong. Every time that we embrace what is not, you have to refuse something else. You cannot have the light and darkness at the same time. And that's what the world is preaching today. So when we talk about gender, we talk about what God has created. Male and female. Nothing between. If you are something else, you are messed up. I don't intend to be offensive. I just intended, and I'm responsible to speak the truth and nothing else. And I do not believe that God expects us in the name of compassion to break his laws. There is no excuse for us to break God's laws and claim that that is God's wishes. Luke 15:10, New Century Version, says, in the same way there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner changes his or her heart and life. Now, who is this angel that is happy in heaven? There is only one answer that I accept. Okay, I want you to think about. The question is, who is this angel that is happy in heaven? The answer, I want the answer to have two words. One, it starts with M, and then the other. I answer is that I expect from you is this, my angel. The question again is, who is this angel that is happy in heaven? Okay, who is this angel that is very happy in heaven? Forgive them, please. My angel. Why? Because today I am a sinner that wants to repent. I want someone that wants to reflect the image of God. I was created to give him glory, and I came to church to praise him. And that's why my angel in heaven is happy today. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Yeah, be careful, but show hospitality. For some who have done this have entertained what? Angels. So angels do take human form to do God's work only. Not for self-pleasure, not for self, only to serve God. So God will go to any possible way, even to what is impossible to us, God will go in order to provide you the protection, the blessings that you will receive if you call on the name of the Lord. He created us, but he has never abandoned us. When people say, some theologians, some preachers say this time, says, oh, when he sinned, the Lord left him. The Lord leaves nobody. Nobody. Nobody leaves the Lord. Somebody stays with the Lord. Do you know what I play with the words, right? I used to talk to the kids, says, you know when you talk to nobody and nobody talking to you, you become nobody because nobody can only talk to nobody. But if you want to be somebody, you only will listen to somebody because only somebody will say what somebody wants to listen to. So kids, when you talk to nobody, walk away because you will become nobody. Because only nobody understands nobody. But somebody always will look for somebody because they love to be somebody. Be aware that you don't look down on any of these little ones. We have quite a few beautiful ones here with us today. Don't look down on them. You know why? For I tell you that in heaven, and you know why the eye is in different color? You notice that it's different color eye? Because that is Jesus speaking. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my Heavenly Father. If you think that they are nobody, they actually are more than anybody can imagine. Because Jesus Christ even says, unless you become just like one of them, you're not going to see me in heaven. So I preached one sermon here a long time ago. It says, heaven belongs to kids. Because according to Jesus Christ, it does. And so remember, when you get a little bit frustrated, Mom and Dad, I'm talking to you now. Sometimes you may be overwhelmed with so many things to do, and you may forget that you're dealing with God's children. It's not your kid. It's just alone. It's just alone so that you don't become alone. It's just alone for a short period of time to give you the honor to see what it feels to be like God, to shape a human being in order to glorify Him. So my brother and sister, if God gave you the awesome gift of being a parent, remember, they are not your kids. You just took a loan. And if you are a good steward, you return the loan with interest. All right? So pay your debts. Return the loan. The devil said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now, by the way, the devil is an angel that wants to be worshipped. And all his demons, they want to be worshipped. And you know that some humans walk around, pretend that they are entitled to everything. They want to be worshipped too. And here, I'm going to pick on the parents again. Parents, if your children want something, and you say no. Sometimes we're parents, sometimes we are so focused in some other things that we may not even hear our children well. And we know that his easier way out is to say no. Because whatever it is, you say no. Then you say, later on I can change my mind, but you say no. Whatever you say to a child is printed in their mind. So don't be too quick to say no. Listen to the child. And if you cannot listen, says, give me a moment. And then that child will learn that you give that child respect, and that child will know what respect is. So that child, later on, you tell that child, sit down with her. He says, what do you want? I want this and this, this. If something that you can give, you say yes. If something that you have doubt, you say, let me think. If something that you are sure, says yes. If you're sure they should not, you say no. But you know what no means? Does your child know what no means? It's not an option. But if your child knows that a no is the beginning of the negotiation, your child will insist, will go again, and will go again. And believe me, they in that little head, they are very smart. Probably smarter than you can ever imagine. And they will use all the tricks. And by the way, you know those girls out back there? They were little too. And now they are teenagers. They know the skills how to manipulate too. That's how survival we learn. So parents, just because they come a little bit, the game continues. So be careful what you say, but when you say honor, what do you say? If it is no, honor, no, the value. And let them know that it's not the no that you deny them of something, but you're rewarding them with a proper care, not to give in to something you harm them. So be a good parent. Honor your children by respecting what you say to them. I will give you all these things, Satan said to Jesus, if you worship me. Jesus continued. Jesus said to the devil, go away from me. And the name there, Satan, Jesus says, go from me, adversary, my enemy. Why he was listening to him before he had a dialogue with him. But it came to this point, he says, there is no more dialogue because now it's very obvious that you are evil because you are asking me to give you something that only belongs to God. How many of us, when we receive our salary, we are more concerned in giving to the world or give to ourselves before we give to God where it belongs to Him? How many times we give to other people the affection that only those that God put in our lives deserves to receive? Why do we allow the adversary to put us on our knees? Jesus says, no, go away. Because it is written, you must worship the Lord with your money, with your house, with your children, with your family, with your makeup, with whatever you want to, you can make it, the list. Paul says very clearly, whatever you do, whatever you eat, how you dress, how you speak, where you go, who you talk to, everything that we do has to have only one purpose for our existence, is to praise God. Worship Him and Him only. Then the devil left him, of course. Why the devil left Jesus? Because he was Jesus? Because he has the scripture. Everything that he decided was based on the scripture. And if you go around saying, scripture, it is written, believe me, the devil will leave you alone too. Then the devil left him. Behold, I like this word, behold. And behold, the angels came. The angels came, and they always will, and ministered to him. You know what the word ministered, I'm biased on this. You know what the word ministered means, right? The serve, the servant. And he became a servant to him. All the angels are ministers. They're all messengers. They're all ministers. And the whole purpose is to serve. Online here, there is one of our brothers. There are quite a few here online. And I know that he is listening to us. And I'm going to speak close here so he can hear. He was very active in this church, but now he stays at home. And I was there, when I first came, I was there cleaning the tables during our dinner. And this was in the beginning of my ministry here in the church. And, he was shocked to see me cleaning the tables and collecting the trash. He said, Pastor, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Let us, the deacons, do this. And I took him aside and said, brother, do you know what it means to be a minister? Do you know what a minister means? I came to this church to serve. And I hope by serving, I motivate people to serve as well. And he meant well, and he knows what I'm saying this to him. He has been always a very good servant. We have here my brother Pat with us, and we appreciate him coming to visit us again. And Sister Mary is there, those very good-looking couple back there. And Brother Pat has been serving as elder for 47 years. Amen. That's a life of service. And because that impressive life of service, we ask him to come back and speak to us again. Amen. This coming month, he's going to be here. Amen. Speaking to us. Both of them will come, and the Lord will inspire them to bring us a message as well. And some of you here have been serving for so many years, and it is important to serve. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Here's talking about John. John saw an angel. And I can relate to John. If an angel appears before any of us, with all his glory and light and everything else, we may be inclined to fall on our knees. And he did, even though he knew better, He should know better because he knew the story of Jesus. He knew that Jesus said, away from me, Satan, we can only worship God. But in his humanity, he fell down. He went to worship him. But he said to me, the angel told him immediately. And here is very important for you to understand the nature of an angel. Angel said this, see that you do not do that. What is he's talking about? Do not worship angels. When I was a little kid, let me talk to the children here. Children, any one of you here is 9 years old? 9 years old. Now, you're not. You're close to twice as much. Are you nine? Okay. You know the good singer that was standing right here? The one who was playing the piano, very beautiful there too. I thought it was an adult that was playing because he played so well. I was his age more or less when I went to catechism. And they were talking about this and everything with me. The nuns were teaching me all of those things. But they never opened the Bible. It was all catechism. And they, to reward us, they gave us a picture. And that picture, they said, is your guardian angel. You're going to keep this on your pocket wherever you go. When you go to bed, you pray to your guardian angel. Brothers and sisters, we don't pray for angels. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. You don't talk to your angel either. We don't supposed to talk to our angels. We're supposed to talk to God and God only. And God sent his angels to our lives, but we don't owe glory to, just like here, when you say to me, oh, Pastor, thank you for this. Praise God. Amen. I'm just the servant. I'm not here looking for your praise. I do need your love as a human being. But the praise goes only to the one who we serve. And the Bible says clearly, only God. Only God. See that you don't do that. So, as a child, I looked at that picture. And the picture, sometimes I see the same picture online when I was doing research for images on angels. And I saw the picture there. The picture is still around. It's this angel, and there was a child crossing a bridge, and this angel behind, you know, and the guardian angel. It impresses the mind of a child. I still have that picture in my mind into this day, and I'm not a kid anymore. I am your fellow servant, meaning I'm a servant just like you. And of your brethren, who, in some version says, your brothers and sisters, who have the testimony of Jesus. In other words, who live like Christ, who walk like Christ, worship God. Can you say with me? Worship God. God only. Nobody else. So when you look at the mirror, be careful. You're supposed to worship that one either, okay? Do not worship your children. Do not worship anything but God. For the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19, verse 10, New Living Translation. Now moving on. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. Can we all relate to that? Temptation knocks at our door. It sometimes almost tries to break down the door. It's all the time. It says, he walked away about a stone thrown distance. It says, and he knelt down and prayed. When we are about to be tempted, Get in your knees, not to surrender to temptation, but to surrender to God, and temptation will be going away. And then what happened? Father, he prayed, if you are willing, and God is always willing to deliver us, always, without no exception, please take this cup of suffering away from me. I know that all of us can relate to some discomfort as far as our health. Sometimes it's a cold, sometimes it's a fever, sometimes it's some pain that we cannot explain where, how come we have this pain. All those things happen to all of us. And as we grow older, looks like pain becomes a norm. And like they say, pain in pills and spills are what is going to happen. But it says, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Hear what he said. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. It is your will to be done. Just for some of you here that are not attending our church regularly, I'd like to say this, just a theological gem for you here. We do not receive suffering from God. Satan may deceive you saying, oh, God is twisting your arm so that you can go in the right direction. Or God broke your leg so that you can stop working on the Sabbath so you can come to church because now you have a free time, healing time, so you can go to church until your leg get ready, right again so you can go back to break the Sabbath again. So no, God does not break your leg for you to keep the Sabbath. God does not inflict pain on you so that you obey him, because that is a contradiction. God gave you a freedom of choice. If you are forced to love, your love is not love at all. God does not force us to love him. God loves us first so that we can learn to love him. All destructive, everything that is painful, everything that is evil, comes from only one source. The Apollyon, the Abaddon, the father of destruction, the one who is the devil. Then an angel from heaven appeared and gave him his strength. If we are faithful, the Lord will always send his strength in our way. Luke 22, verse 40 to 43, New Living Translation. Now in Psalms 34, verse 7, you may know this verse by memory in a different version, but I chose this version here to cover the subject. It says, this is the contemporary English version, Psalms 34, verse 7. It says this, if you honor the Lord, his angel will protect you. It's not like God is bargaining with you. It's not like God is saying, you obey me and I'll give you something. I'll give you a reward. Please don't misunderstand. That's not the intent. He's saying, if you obey me, that means you surrender your will to me, then I will take care of your problems. You allow me, you give me permission to interfere in your life and give you the protection that you need. So it's up to us. If we surrender our will to God, God will bring his will into our lives. Paul said this, all the angels are spirits who serve God and are sent to help those who will receive salvation. Who is Paul talking about here? Who is he talking about? Us. Okay, you can say now, me. Yes, all the angels are spirits who serve God and are sent to help those who are those we are who will receive salvation. And Paul continues by saying, what are the angels then? They are spirits who serve God and sent by him to help those, the same version in a Good News Translation, Hebrews 1, verse 14. Now, brothers and sisters, don't be cheated by people who make a show of acting humble and do worship angels. By the way, I know a few of them. I have visited other churches, and I have seen people that call themselves ministers of God teaching the heresy that angels are to be worshipped. And they brag about seeing visions, but it is all nonsense because their minds are filled with selfish desires. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, Contemporary English Version. Paul also said, but even if we, who is we that he's talking about? The apostles. Even if we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven, a messenger comes from heaven, preach you any other gospel to you that than what we have preached to you already, let them be accursed. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, verse 90 repeats basically the same thing. It says, again, I'll tell you, if somebody comes from heaven, if somebody appears like an angel of light and tell you, say, oh, you don't need to go to church on Sabbath anymore because, you know, God is a God of inclusion. So God is, now God is accepting everyone. That's a lie. So now I want you to please to open your Bibles. I know that you will have to wake up and open your Bibles, please. Chapter 22 of Matthew. And we're going to close with this biblical illustration to try to answer the question, do angels have gender? By the way, the one reason why some people may ask about gender is not only about all the confusion that's going on now about gender, but also because the Bible does refer to angels. They use the pronoun he. You know, it's all he did this. And have you, anybody here has read a Bible where God is no longer he? Do you believe that there are Bibles now, a version of the Bible out there, that God is no longer he? God is referring to a she? People are so concerned about impose their own views that they are changing everything. I mean, at least they are trying to change everything. Now, Matthew 22 tells a story about a group of people that came to see Jesus. Not everybody, this story will show to you that not everybody who joins a church because they are seeking salvation. Sometimes people join church for different reasons. And there were people in a church that here talk about a group of two people. One group, children, I want you to learn this because you won't forget again, okay? Once that I tell you this, you're not going to forget. There is a group of people in the Bible they call Sadducees. Can you make a sad face? You little one, can we? There are the Sadducees. And what about the fairy? Fairy. You know right? Fairy. Pharisees. So there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The sad came to Jesus. They came to Jesus to ask a sad question. And they came to Jesus and says, Jesus, they know that Jesus was preaching about the resurrection. And they didn't want to only to be picked on Jesus, but they want to also be picked on the other group because they are two different groups, the sad, very Sadducees, and the Pharisees. So the Pharisees believe that this is not it. There is a life after. That's the Pharisees. They believe there was more life after this. But the Sadducees, that's why they were sad. They believe that this is it. That's it. Get born, grow old, and die. That's it. That's why they were Sadducees. And so they came to Jesus and said, You know, there was this woman that she married this guy. But the guy died. Oh, she cried. But then she realized, oh, he has a brother. And according to the law, the brother has to marry me. Okay, so she smiled again. Now I have another husband. And they married. He died. Now, the Sadducees kept talking about sad things and said, oh, brother, there is another brother. Okay, let's get married. And you can see, can you look at the brother? He's shaking. He said, I already lost two brothers. This lady is a killer. Now comes the third one. He said, okay, okay. And they married. Ay, ay, ay. You know what happened? Dead. Now look, can you see the next brother? He's pale. He's shaking. I'm next. Why me? I'm next. He died too. And the story goes on. It says seven of them. What a killer. She married seven and seven dead. Now she died too. Before she got to number eight. She died too. And the Sadducees thought that they got Jesus. I got you. Now tell me one thing. The day of the resurrection that you believe, that we don't, but you believe, this woman resurrects. And she finds out that there were poor seven guys that she killed. No, she didn't, but you know what I mean. They are there. All seven now says, who is the husband? They all seven married her. They all became her husband. And they knew one thing in common. The Sadducees and Pharisees knew one thing in common. There will be no polygamy in heaven. So that's the assumption that they have. Nobody in heaven is going to have two wives or two husbands. So, that is not going to happen. So that was obvious. Nobody going to talk about that part. And so Jesus said this. In chapter 22, let me see here the verses. Okay, 22. It's not 23. See, I didn't mark on my Bible, so I just looking, just like you, I'm looking for it, okay? I don't want to read all the verses. It's close to the end. Okay, let me see here. 23, now 28. Now then, at the resurrection, 28. Thank you, Sister Elson. 28. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven poor guys that died? No, it doesn't say that. Of the seven guys, since all of them were married to her. Now look what Jesus Christ says. And here's the answer to the question. Do angels have gender? Please, Jesus replied, you are in error, because you do not know the scriptures. It says here, or the power of God. Next verse, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given into marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Next verse, but about the resurrection of the dead, Have you not read what God said to you? And then he goes on. But the question he says here clearly, you be like the angels, not marry or giving yourself into marriage. Angels do not have gender. Gender, the purpose of gender was only one. The purpose of gender was only one purpose. And it was not for pleasure. God did not create gender for pleasure. Pleasure was the reward to motivate people to fulfill God's purpose for gender. It was for procreation. So why in heaven we no longer will procreate? You need to go back to Genesis, to the creation. When God said to Adam and Eve, and not Steve, Eve, and all the other animals that have male and female, he commanded them to procreate, but there was a goal. The goal was to fill the earth. The moment that goal has been fulfilled, there will be no more need for gender distinction. So the distinction was existed to motivate procreation. And once the procreation is done, so with on the resurrection of all the saints, the number will be the number that will fill the earth. Some of you may be asking, why is Jesus taking so long? He's counting. The moment that the number fills the earth, the Lord will say, it is finished. Let me go and pick up my kids. And he will come for you, kid. He is anxious to take him, to take you into his arms. I hope I put all three mentions of this so that you can read at home this afternoon and can talk to your children. So what it implies then? Implies that in a kingdom, we will become equals. There will be no this distinction because, oh, I want to be like a man. I want to be better than man or be better than her. And there's all this stuff. We're going to be in a kingdom, equals, made in the image of God. Amen. May God give you the blessed assurance that you'll be there that day. God blesses to all of you. So God knows and God told us this gender business is going to end here, okay? So don't get so excited about this whole process. Let's stand up and sing together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine because I am his.